The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, as retirement ages increase in Europe, Ireland looks set to follow suit. Denmark may have already legislated to raise retirement age to 70 by 2040, but is there ways that we can financially prepare so that we don't have to work right into our 70s? Well, joining me now is Pori Kassan, financial advisor. Look, Pori, you and I will remember the general election in 2020 and the furore that was created when there was an issue around raising the state pension age. Have things changed, do you think, at all? Have we become more comfortable with the idea that we will be retiring later and later?
It's a very, very, how would I say, broad subject. Somebody's pension and their finances are interconnected at all stages, whether you're at the retirement age, whether you're at the funding for retirement age or whether you're at the beginning of your working life. Increasing the pension age to age 70, as Denmark has legislated for, is going to be a challenge because there would need to be a very strong political will to do that. But I think if, let's say, it became the norm, it puts employers, to give you an example of why it needs to be in a roundtable discussion, if employers have employees who are in manual labour and they're being told that they have to keep them till 70, that's going to cause a huge issue for them and the labour market in general. So for some industries and for some occupations, it would probably be possible. And a lot of people would be quite happy to work till later in life. Because while a lot of people think retirement is about income and so forth, a lot of the time it's about what will you do in retirement with the 8 hours plus a day that you have at your disposal. If you haven't even thought about it, a lot of stats would show you that a lot of people can run into depression difficulties in retirement because they haven't planned. They have planned maybe for the financial aspect of it, but they haven't planned for the reality of the day is now empty and the purpose of going to work isn't there. A lot of people, for example, in retirement take tour guide jobs and guiding tours to give them something to do. A lot of, obviously, voluntary work and volunteering work with charities is there. There are a few things that are important here in terms of if somebody's going to have a broad-based discussion. There's a few, I call them the elephants in the pension zoo.
And there's a few of them, I'd imagine.
There's a lot of them. So, for example, we're living longer. That puts a big drain on the state, not just this state, all states. So the requirement for income is there for a lot longer than might have been anticipated when, let's say, the funders were funding for their retirement. When I entered the industry a long time ago, I won't say when, the average mortality age was between 72 and 74. That has increased by about 10, 12 years now. That means 10, 12 years more of drawing these benefits. One of the biggest elephants in that zoo is the civil service pensions, because they are written in stone almost. A lot of them call them the Rolls Royce of pensions. It depends on your income that you retire on. That dictates the income. That is going to have to be addressed in terms of what might or should happen in a discussion format. I'm not putting these out as alarm bells, but they are things that would have to be considered in a broad-based discussion.
What I have noticed amongst my own peers, right, I'm 44 years of age, is that because so many of us are getting maybe married later, buying our first houses later, having children later, there's actually an inevitability that we will have to work until we are 70 years of age, if not a little bit more, because we simply won't have a sufficient income in place from a pension to put children through college, to pay out mortgages.
Yeah, the issue that always arises, and auto-enrolment has actually at least brought the discussion into play. But one of the, and you mentioned it perfectly, people are now borrowing later in life, for longer in life. A lot of mortgages we would do in the office are run at age 70. Mm-hmm. Then what people will do, is particularly if they're in a constrained income area, they'll prioritise. So if kids are in the middle of education, the last thing they're going to want to think about is what's so far away. And the difficulty is, it being so far away, it gets less priority. It's fine if you're in an employment where there is a pension and it's almost automated that you contribute and the employer matches it. But for a lot of people, particularly, there's two key factors. Let's say, less well-paid jobs have concerns, and then there's a gender pay gap and for females who might give up some of their working life to raise children, to get them to school age, and then go back in. So there's a whole myriad of issues, but definitely one of the biggest problems is the housing issue, because for if we just talk about people who are borrowing to purchase, what about the people who are renting? And we know this week the big debates are going on and the increases in rental rates. Some of those people are going to be age 70 and have a 2,500 a month rent. And now there's a massive issue. So the need to have a joined up thinking debate is really greater than it probably ever was, given the fact that we are living longer, but probably retiring financially comfortable later in life, a lot later in life. A lot of people are retiring at 65, taking their lump sum and using a substantial amount of that lump sum to finish the mortgage. If they have funded for the pension. One of the other things that would be important to remember, and I suppose another elephant that I would throw into the room of the debate is, should the pension decrease as people get older? Now, that's a real alarmist thing to say, but the need for income starts to decrease, health aside, and there's other things that be thrown at me going, well, we can give it to our kids and so forth. But if we're to have a realistic debate about this, everything needs to be put on the table, because...
You know how contentious that would be.
Well, 100%, because the grey vote, as they call it, would come out in March. But right beside that, we have to think of the next generation coming up are going to have to fund greater tax levels to keep the pensions at the levels that they're at the moment. And is that fair? And the second thing I would add to that is, it is fine to say we can't touch what's there, but there is one key factor here I would say to everybody. The state pension, be it contributory or non-contributory, is a promise from the state. That is all it is. There is no certainty it will be paid. It is paid based on taxation from today. And that has to shift. We have to put a rainy day fund away to start, let's say, making it easier to fund it, that it just doesn't come from everyday taxes, that some of it has already been funded from the time we were working.
It's a sobering conversation, Park, and I wonder, is it one that we as a society have actually got to grips with yet?
I don't think we have. One of the biggest difficulties in this debate will be the political will that will be there and the timing of that political will, whether they'll have the strength of support. But it's a debate that affects everybody. A lot of people are sitting comfortable in the knowledge that their Rolls-Royce pension is there for them. But the debate has to involve all parts, employers, employees, retirees, the health benefits, housing and the supply of housing, the ability to allow people to trade down. Everything, Ciara, will come into the mix if you're to have a proper fact and reality-based discussion around pensions.
Well, I would love to hear Hard Shoulder listeners' views on everything Park has been talking about over the last couple of minutes. Do get in touch with us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.